All right, God, we just want to thank you for tonight and ask for your strength and your help. God, we've got exams coming up and school stuff and holiday things and family stuff, and it can be a stressful time, but it can also be an exciting and fun one too. God, would you help us to not lose heart of the meaning of Christmas, that you love us, that you sent your son Jesus to be born at Christmas time for us, that we could put our faith in him, that he could rescue us. God, would you let that message sink deep in our hearts, and God, I pray that you help us with our schoolwork, help us with our friendships, help us with family stuff, and give us a great week this week. Help us be able to persevere and finish strong. Looking forward to Christmas break. God, would you help us to not give up early and to remain committed to the end. We pray in your name. Amen. So we've been doing a series called Leadership Habits and Attitudes, or Habitudes, if you will. We've been doing these. We've done character, convictions, competence, and tonight is about commitment. And you guys, you know, we've been using this book called Habitudes by Tim Elmore, and he loves to use pictures. So I got the first picture for you tonight that we'll take a look at that he's going to use. Well, actually, we're going to go ahead and skip that. Here's the picture for tonight. What is that? It's an airplane. And it is a Japanese airplane. On a mission to do what? This is a kamikaze pilot. And his mission is to fly his plane into an enemy target, giving up his life in the process. Okay? That's what a kamikaze does, right? He flies his plane into the enemy, in this example, into an enemy ship, and he dies, and at the same time causes all kinds of devastation to the enemy, right? So who wants to sign up to be a kamikaze pilot? Anyone? Pretty gutsy thing to do. All right, so that's our picture today, is a picture of a kamikaze airplane. Here is the principle, the kamikaze principle. In his book, he says this, that kamikaze pilots are only useful if they are committed to their mission. Leaders are the same way. You cannot have involvement without commitment and be effective. It goes with the territory. Would you agree that if you're going to be a kamikaze pilot, you need to be committed to the mission, and that it kind of goes with the territory, right? So I want to read to you a little bit from his book. He says this. I love the story of the kamikaze pilot who flew in World War II for the Japanese Air Force. He was interviewed by a newspaper reporter after returning from his 50th mission. The reporter asked the pilot if he was in a contradiction in terms. How can someone be a kamikaze pilot whose mission is to fly into military bases and give up his life in the process and still be alive after 50 missions? Well, it's like this, the pilot responded. I was very involved, but not very committed, but very involved. It's kind of funny, right? If your mission is to die on one mission only, what in the world is he doing running 50 missions, right? And why is he still allowed to be a kamikaze pilot? Not very good at it, right? All right, he goes on in his book and he says, I always smile when I think of this story. A true kamikaze pilot only flies on one mission. He gives his life for that one mission. He cannot be involved without being committed. There's no such thing as a half-hearted kamikaze, right? You're either committed to it or you're not. So think about your own life. Are there things in your life that you are half-hearted about, half-committed about, partially committed about, not fully committed to? All right, he finishes up and he says this, commitment goes with the territory, and so it is with us. If we have any hope of being a successful person, much less an effective leader, we must be committed. Leaders possess commitment, and they cannot be involved without being committed. The rest of the world may enjoy involvement without commitment, but we cannot as emerging leaders. And he gives a really funny example that I think is hilarious. And he says this, what's the difference between involvement and commitment? Okay, you ready? Just ask a pig and a chicken after eating a ham and egg breakfast. The chicken was involved and the pig was committed. Are you with me? Chicken legs and egg, you get an omelet. You want some bacon? Sorry, pig, it's going to cost your life. Okay? Chickens are around for, you know, can lay some more eggs later. Are you with me? So, you get that picture in your head? Yeah. All right. So, how do we get there? What does commitment involve? And I believe it involves these three things. And Tim Elmore in his book, he says that purpose, determination, and sacrifice are all involved in being a committed person. So the first one, purpose, you need to have a cause you believe in. If you're going to be committed to something, you need to believe in that cause, right? And we have all kinds of causes in the world, don't we? All kinds of things that you could be committed to. So do we have any Bradley students here? Okay. How committed are you to your school? Do you believe in your school? Would you wear your school colors?
No.
Yeah. Would you play for your school band or in your on your school's team? Okay. Yeah. Do you think your school's better than the other schools in town?
Yeah.
Okay. So any Davidson students? Yeah. How committed are you to your school, huh? Or how about Darby? Yeah. Yeah. All right, how about Heritage or Memorial or Weaver? Okay. Do you guys like your school? Do you like your school mascot? Do you wear your school stuff? Okay. All right, so maybe school loyalty feels kind of mediocre in the room to me right now. Any Buckeye fans? Any of you guys like full on, I am a Buckeye fan, I love the Ohio State Buckeyes? Okay. How committed are you? Are you the kind that like paints your house or your room or your car or wear the colors or go tailgating or watch the game every weekend? Okay, some of you are addicted to that stuff, right? Sports, that's one thing. You could have your purpose. You could believe in a team. All right, what about a cause? What? Anybody like animals? Any animal lovers? Okay, so do any of you work with animals or would like to get a job working with animals? Okay. Do you feel like that we should protect animals? Do you care about, like, the endangered species and things like that? Okay. All right, so you might have a cause. You're like, you know what? I really think we should protect animals. Okay. What if you had another cause? How about the environment? That's pretty popular now, right? Going green and recycling and doing your part. Any of you guys, raise your hand, care about the environment? Sort of. Okay. Maybe mildly. Okay. What are some other things that you might have a cause that you might believe in? And friendship. Okay, friendship's cool, totally. You can say, you know what, I really, really value friendship, and friendship is important to me. And you work on being a good friend and having good friendships. That's cool. Or it could be deeper than that. You know, you could be somebody who's got another cause. Maybe you feel like, you know, women's rights is really important, and equality between the races is important, and maybe that's your cause, okay? Or maybe it's your faith. You're like, you know what, I really believe that that God loves us and that Christianity is the way to go, and that God created the world and Jesus died for us. So maybe that's one of the causes. You can have many, many causes. All right, so that could be your purpose. And then determination, the passion to complete your purpose or your mission. What if you like really care about animals, but you don't do anything to help them? You never volunteer, you never serve, you never protect them, and in fact, you go hunting at Thanksgiving time. Like, are we really going to think you have passion about your cause? Are you determined to protect animals when we see antlers on your wall? Probably not, okay? All right, so how is your passion for the thing that you like? If you're a Buckeyes fan, but you never wear Buckeye colors or their logo and you don't watch a game, chances are we're going to stop believing that you believe in the Buckeyes, okay? All right, so having this passion to complete your purpose or mission. All right, hey, here's a question. Ever been on a team when other people did not have the same determination that you did? Ever been in a class project when other people did not have the same determination to do a good job on it? Okay? Yeah, sure. All right, and then the last one, sacrifice. Putting others' needs first, or putting the team first, or putting the needs of the mission ahead of your own, right? So what does a kamikaze pilot got to do? Well, it's going to cost sacrifice for him. He puts the mission ahead of his own life, and he dies for his cause. Now, I'm not asking you to die for your cause right now. I'm just wondering what might be some causes you care about. What might be some things that will require some purpose, determination, and sacrifice? Most commitments are going to involve some type of sacrifice, whether it's your time or your energy or your talent or your money. The thing that you care about is going to involve some of that, don't you think? If you watch a game or care about it, you're going to give time to practicing for that thing, or you might donate money to that thing, or you might buy a jersey that says, I am on part of this thing, I care about this thing. Or maybe your job is to go and tell other people about the thing that you care about. You need to recruit people to join your thing. Like, I had people come and knock on my door a while back, and they were their cause was, we want to pass this no smoking law in public restaurants. And they wanted to know if we wanted to sign their petition, okay? Because they really cared about no smoking in public areas, okay? I don't remember. I don't really like smoking and don't really like sniffing smoke while I'm trying to eat in public restaurants, so it kind of makes sense. But at the same time, maybe that cause is something you care about. Maybe it's not. Maybe you want to lower the age for driving. And you're like, you know what? 14-year-olds should get their license, not 16-year-olds. So maybe you want to petition the government to lower the age for driving. Yeah, would that be cool? Or maybe you think school is too long and you want to petition that we should only go 6 months out of the year instead of 9, okay? That we should extend summer break 2 more months. How would that be? 6 months on, 6 months off. That might be better, okay? So you have a cause, you have some determination, you have some sacrifice that might be involved in doing that, right? Here's how commitment works. That it starts with an idea. All right, we perceive an issue by the way we think about it in your mind. All right, all of a sudden you think about this issue in your head. You're like, oh, huh, that's interesting. And then it moves to an opinion. You begin to express your feelings on that issue, which involves your emotions. Okay? You start to care about the issue and you take a side on the issue. And then you start to form beliefs. So you conclude where you stand on the issue that involves both your mind and your emotion. And then as we move toward commitment, it involves all three. We begin to act on our belief, which involves your emotion, your mind, and now your will. Okay, now you're going to do something about it, right? So let me read to you this next part. Have you ever heard of the word mediocre? Okay, the word mediocre was first used to describe rock climbers. Rock climbers who were involved but not committed. The word literally means middle of the rock. It was used to describe climbers who didn't finish the climb, but stopped halfway. So it's kind of a derogatory term. If you're called mediocre, you're middle of the rock. Okay, you are not committed. You didn't finish the climb. You gave up. You quit. Now think about this. Our campuses are filled with students who want to be involved but not really committed. They want to keep all their options open and often don't make a decision until the last minute because a better opportunity may arise at the 11th hour. In fact, because our world offers us so many options, we tend to not commit ourselves because we don't want to narrow our focus. We want to do it all. Any of you guys want to do it all? As much as you can? The problem is we can't do it all. And I've said this many times, leaders can do anything, but they can't do everything. Nearly every great leader in history accomplished something memorable because of a narrow focus and a great commitment to a cause, perhaps a single cause. Even young leaders have figured this out and made their mark because they got committed. So, if you want to be a football player, basketball player, band member, swimmer, archery, chess club, drama team, and choir, is that all going to work in your schedule? No. And so you already knew at an early age, you had to start deciding, I'm going to choose these certain classes or these certain activities, and if they're running during the same season, like for me, soccer and football were at the same season. I couldn't play both. I had to pick one, okay? Maybe for you, I don't even know. Can you do choir and band? I'm not even sure if you can. Can you be on the football field and in the marching band? I don't know if that works. That's challenging, right? Tough, right? So at some point, though, either you run out of time or you run out of energy, or you run out of passion for the thing that you're doing, right? Can you work 40 hours a week at a job at Kroger and still go to school and still get good grades? Probably not. At some point, you're going to burn out, right? You're going to run out of energy or time. So I guess the point is, if we're going to be committed people, we're not going to be able to do everything. And we're going to have to select what things are we going to choose to give our heart and time and talent and energy and focus to. So my encouragement to you would be, you know what? Pick a few things and do them really well. Pick a few things and do them really well. It's hard because we want to do everything. And you know what's tough? Like, schools are making it even tougher to pick more than one thing, because now they're making, like, say, like a sport, they're making it like an all-year commitment. Like, you got your season, but then you got your off-training, and then you got your conditioning, and then you got your weightlifting, and you got your... So, like, it makes it really hard to have more than a couple things on your plate. And sometimes God ends up maybe, like, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15th on your list, and your faith in God and your time with God, it gets... kind of pushed away, and the other things rise up, and you're only able to give your commitment to a certain amount of stuff before your plate is too full, right? Would you say that's true for you? That have you ever overcommitted to stuff? Raise your hand if you ever overcommitted to stuff. Got too many things going on, okay? And maybe it's not just you. Maybe your family in general just commits to so much, and your family just can't get every person to where they need to go, you know? All right, so I wanted to go through some examples. So you help me. If you were a committed person in this area, what would it look like? So, if you were committed to studying, what does a person who's committed to getting good grades do? They do homework. They study, like, a lot, a little, a medium amount, like, I don't know, all the time? As much as they need to, okay. What else does a person who values getting good grades or studying do? They pay attention in class, okay? Maybe they take good notes. Maybe they join a study group of some, you know, it doesn't, maybe it's not your best subject, and so you got to study extra for this one, right? Or maybe they take time out of their schedule to give some time to working on their homework, their grades, their papers, their projects. All right, let's do the next one. If you are committed to being healthy and wanting to exercise, what is a person who's committed to exercise, what does that look like? They eat healthy. What else? They work out a little, a lot. I mean, like, how much do they work out? Well, maybe they do it as a habit. Maybe they work out every week. Okay, maybe they take some time to do that. What else was it? A person who's committed to exercise? What are they going to do? They get some sleep. Okay, maybe they have a workout partner, because you know it's hard to keep a commitment alone, right? So maybe they got a buddy. Maybe they go to the gym or the fitness center together, right? Maybe they decide, you know what, I want to work on my legs or my arms or my chest, or I want to work on my back or whatever it is. You decide what kind of fitness you need, and you work at it. Maybe you set some goals, right? All right, so I want to do some strength training. Maybe you set some goals, like once a month I want to do like a strength test and see if I'm making any progress, right? Or maybe you're a long-distance runner and you want to, you know, figure out, hey, I want to get my times better, and so maybe you set some goals to get better times. All right, what about, what if you're on a team or a club? What does it look like if you're committed to that team or that club? What do? You go to practice. Do you just go to practice? You work hard at practice. Do you miss practice, cut practice, late to practice? No, maybe you're on time, maybe you're committed, and you try to work hard there. What else do? What if you're in the drama club, or what if you're on a sports team or in the band? All right, memorizing your lines, that's good. Sure. So you rehearse on your own. I like that. Okay, what else? That's good. Do you guys hear that? You forfeit other things that may be important. It's that whole idea of sacrifice, right? If you're really committed to it, you want to be really good at it, you might have to give up your Friday night because you're in the marching band. You don't get to go hang out with friends. You have to go and perform at the show at the game, okay? Or if you're in the play, maybe you can't be out with friends on the weekend because it's dress rehearsal week and you're committed to doing that instead. Or, you know what? Sometimes grades take a back seat because you got other stuff going on. Sure. All right, let's move on. What if you're a fan of anything? If you're a committed fan, I'm a committed fan. What does a committed fan look like? Your brother is a committed fan of what? Ohio State, okay? And what do committed fans of Ohio State do or have? All right, so they got decorations. They've done their house up like green and gold. I'm a Packers fan at heart, sorry. Yeah. My bad. So you have the team colors, you decorate, you've got stuff. What else? If you're a committed fan, you go to the games. And what do you do with it? You just go to the games? Or what do you do at the games? You get loud. Do you cheer? Do you yell at the ref? Probably. Do you get excited when they score? Yeah. Do you paint your face and, like, go nuts? No. Maybe. And maybe you travel. Maybe you get in the car and you follow that team, okay? And you go find where they're playing and you cheer them on. Dedication, right. All right, so what does it look like if you are a committed member of a family? You clean. That's interesting. You do chores, okay? You have responsibilities. What else? You said laundry? You spend time with them, okay? You communicate. That's good. So if you're in a family and you're committed to your family, you would communicate. That's good. What else? Participate with a good attitude or a bad one? Depends on the day. Well, I think if we're committed, we should probably try and have a good one. Doesn't mean we always do. What else? What if you have a disagreement? You work it out. Take the time to work it out. Maybe it involves some forgiveness, you know? Maybe it involves some sacrifice in a different way for your family. All right, last one. If you're a committed American, if you're a patriot, what would that look like if you were a committed member of society? Okay, maybe you fly an American flag. Maybe you join the armed forces. Okay, you want to fight for your country, protect your country. Well, you exercise your right to vote for whoever that is that you feel is good. Maybe you respect others' rights. What else? If you're a committed American, patriot, you follow the law of the land. Okay? Sure. I got an example from history for you, okay? All right, we're going to talk about Joan of Arc. Did you know that Joan of Arc knew her life mission by the time she was 15 years old? At 17, she led 3,000 French knights in battle. On one occasion, she told a military general, "I will lead the way over the wall." And the general replied, "Not a man will follow you." And Joan of Arc replied, "I won't be looking back to see if they're following me." She was committed. She's going over the wall whether they're coming or not, right? At 19, she was burned alive because she would not recant on her commitment to France. The British gave her a chance to regain her liberty if she would only change her allegiance, but she would not. And in choosing to die at the stake, she said, "Everyone gives their life for what they believe. Sometimes people believe in little or nothing, and yet they give their life to that little or nothing. One life is all we have. And we live it, and then it's gone. But to give up what you are and to live without belief is more terrible than dying, even more terrible than dying young." She was committed to her cause. She was committed to France. She would not change allegiances and switch sides, and she died for her beliefs, right? Committed girl, warrior, right? So as we kind of talk about this, I thought, well, what in the world did kamikazes have to do with Christmas time, right? It's December, it's Christmas time. So what about the life of Jesus? How is Jesus like a kamikaze? He was committed, fully committed to the mission. He knew he was going to die. And in fact, he gave up his life for the mission, right? Now, a lot of times we think of kamikazes as reckless or crazy or psycho. Right, but Jesus was none of those things. He willingly gave up his life, knowing what it would cost for the sake of the mission. So check this out. Here's three new pictures for you. We've been looking at the airplane. Now I want you to look at the manger, the cross, and the empty tomb. So Christmas time, right? We celebrate the birth of Jesus. And from the very, very beginning, check this out. Jesus pre-existed. He existed before the world was made. So he left heaven and his status in heaven. And he became a baby. He came to the planet. He came on mission because the only way he could accomplish restoring his friendship and relationship with you guys and with me was if he came in the flesh. That's kind of cool. So he comes, right? And he comes knowing what the end was going to be. And then at Easter, we celebrate that he died on the cross, right? That he gave up his life for you and me. Took our place, took our penalty. And then the coolest part about Jesus is that he rose again. He didn't just stay dead. We celebrate again at Easter time that he rose from the grave, that he conquered death, proved he was God, and that he could give all of us eternal life, that we could have reconnection with God the Father. Pretty cool mission. In my mind, never really thought about Jesus being a kamikaze pilot. But you know what? At Christmas time, it kind of fits that from beginning to end, Jesus was those things. He had a purpose. He had determination and passion and sacrifice. Was Jesus committed? Yeah. He was committed to God. He was committed to you and me. He was committed to his mission of restoring us back to himself. So check out this in the Bible. Has anybody got a Bible? If you got one or a device that's got the Bible on, look up John chapter 1. John chapter 1. All right, starting in verse 1, I want to read this to you guys. Check this out. In the beginning, the Word already existed. And do you know in this context, what is the Word or who is the Word? Check this out. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God and he was God. Who is the Word? Well, the Word is Jesus. Okay, so check this out. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God and he was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Life itself was in him, and in this life, he gives light to everyone. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never be extinguished. God sent John the Baptist to tell everyone about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was only a witness to the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was going to come into the world. So John the Baptist comes first and announces, hey, everybody, check it out. Guess what? Somebody is coming. The light is coming. The Word is coming. And in verse 10, it says, but although the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him when he came. And even in his own land and among his own people, he was not accepted. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. And this is not a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan. This rebirth comes from God. And here's this famous verse in verse 14. So the Word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. Because Jesus comes in flesh, this awesome secret mission that he is being announced to the world, and the world doesn't even recognize that Jesus has come and that he's God. But he's on mission, and he comes, and he dies for us, and he rises again, and he asks us to follow him. So I feel like, you know what, Jesus is a really cool example of being committed, right? Of what it takes to be committed. I feel like sometimes Scripture is powerful and meaningful, but sometimes we miss it, and we don't grab a hold of this idea that Jesus came and became human. He didn't have to, but he became human so that he could communicate with us and so that he could die in our place, to die for us. I feel like we need a song. So Toby Mac wrote a new song that I feel like really communicates this idea of being all in on the mission or the plan. So if you would, take a listen. If you know it, you can sing along. I'll put the lyrics up on the screen. All right, do you like that? Some great lyrics. You know what? Toby Mac, and he's all in for God till the day he dies. He's just like, you know what? I'm in. I'm following him. I'm going after him. I am committed to being an artist who lifts up his name, who sings his praise, and follows God with his life. I love NF's little rap there in the middle. It's sweet. He's passionate about following God as well. You guys, I'm not asking you to straight up die for your faith right now, but I am asking you this. Are you committed to Jesus? Are you committed to God? Are you committed in your faith and in your belief? And if you are, then what does that look like in your life? And how does that play itself out? Check this verse out in Matthew 16. Jesus says this, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And in his book, Habitudes, it talks about these three things out of this verse that you've got these things, right? Sacrifice, purpose, determination. The sacrifice for us is to deny ourselves, to deny being selfish, self-focused, and to think about others, to think about God, to think about ways we can serve and help. Purpose, to take up your cross, to take up your burden, okay? Cross is heavy if you had to carry it to your own death. Jesus did, and he drags it there. And to take up your burden, to take up your responsibilities, and to do your part. And then determination to follow me, to follow God to the end. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like. Those are powerful words that Jesus says to his disciples, and I believe he says them to us too. Will we do that? Will we deny ourselves? Will we take up our cross and follow him? Well, that's kind of the last part of the book here. It says, today people talk about commitments they're going to make, but often fail to keep them. New Year's resolutions last until about February or March, at best. And we say we believe in something, or we make a promise, and then we drift from it. And half-hearted kamikazes are a dime a dozen. The reason other folks live such quality lives and possess such great influence is that they do more than make promises. They're committed to some ideals and values, and they live them out. So let me urge you, live out your faith. Live out the things that you value. And in your life groups tonight, you're going to have a chance to talk about what are some areas in your life that maybe you need to be more committed to. And maybe that means you eliminate some other areas that maybe you don't have time for. Not just your faith. Maybe you're just out of control busy and you need to maybe narrow things down and focus. Or maybe you aren't sure what you believe. And maybe you need to have kind of a heart-to-heart with God and kind of figure that out together. Life groups are a great place to dialogue about that. Can I end with a funny story about myself? I think I told you before, I liked snow skiing as a teenager and as a kid growing up, and I was in ski club in middle school, and I wanted to try a 360 off the jump at the end of the mogul run. I like to do the mogul, so I get to the end of the mogul, and I'm getting nervous, right? And the thing about the mogul run is the chairlift runs right up beside it, so everybody in the chairlift is watching all the people come down, right? So the last jump at the bottom of the set of moguls, the bumps, whatever, in the middle of the hill, I'm getting nervous, but I want to try and do a 360, right? We called it a helicopter back then, okay? So you need to, like, throw your arm and then twist your neck and get your neck to go all the way around, and then your feet will follow, okay? Well, in midair, I chickened out, okay? I already went off the jump, okay? And I chickened out and didn't, like, fully commit to the trick, right? So I do a 180, but if you're snow skiing and you do a 180, then you're like facing up the hill, right? And so I land tips down and just boom, like face plant in the snow, and my gear just goes kapoosh. Both skis fly off in different directions. The poles fly off. My hat fell off, broke my sunglasses. And the funny thing is, if you're on the chairlift looking down, do you know what they call that? A yard sale. And they scream it, yard sale! Like, because your gear is everywhere and your stuff's scattered. And, like, I am humiliated and embarrassed and totally failed at the trick, right? And the people on the chairlift think it's hysterical, right? Well, here's the crazy part. Usually on a hill like that, there's people in line and they're still coming. So people are coming after me and trying to get out of the way and not hit me and landing on my gear. And it's just, it's like a mess and I'm embarrassed, whatever, and hurt and failed. So don't be like the half-hearted 360, okay, that I pulled off. Commit to the things in your life and do a good job for God. Cool?